of that, but we are going to finish out Job. Pastor John did an excellent job last week talking about the middle of the battle, and this sermon is going to be the end of the battle. So we looked at Job, the beginning, the middle, and the end, and the battle that he went through, as we often face life's battles as well. If you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read just one verse of scripture and read it in two different translations. In Job 42, verse 10, it reads, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." It says in the King James Version, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Restored the fortunes, turned the captivity. In captivity, there are fortunes that can be grabbed. Both are correct. Both have a good point, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that you are a God who does not abandon. You are a God who is all-powerful and all-knowing, all-seeing. And God, I pray that as we learn from the book of Job, that we will persevere all the way to the end and realize your providence over our lives. So God, I pray that you help me to preach plain and clear, so plain that a child could understand. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I know that many of us watch movies, right? You've watched movies. We love to watch movies. And you have to watch a movie all the way through, though, if you're going to get the full story, correct? I know that as a kid, our kids like to watch Wizard of Oz, and actually my son in middle school played the Cowardly Lion in the middle school play when they did the Wizard of Oz, and Avery was Dorothy. We had some other people in the church, other youth in the church play different parts as well. And Micah, she loved watching Wizard of Oz as a kid, and she watched it just the other day as a 16-year-old, and seeing it through that, she's like, "There, you know, those munchkins, they were kind of, that's kind of odd there, wasn't it? I wonder why I wasn't kind of scared of them when I was little." I said, "What about those flying monkeys? You know, those were kind of creepy," I always thought, right? But if you watch The Wizard of Oz, and you make it to the scene where Dorothy is in the castle. She's in the castle, and she's staring at the red hourglass. And if you were to end it there and stop watching there, then you would assume what? Dorothy died. Dorothy didn't make it. And if you assume that, you would be what? You would be wrong. Because you've got to watch all the way to the end of the movie. Like reading a book. In the classic Pilgrim's Progress that was written by John Bunyan. It's a story, it's an allegory of a character. His name is Christian. And Christian is leaving the city of destruction, and he is in pursuit to the celestial city. Now, as you're reading this book and you're turning the pages, there's a scene in there where Christian meets Mr. Worldly Wiseman. He persuades him to disregard evangelist advice, and instead of heading towards the celestial city, to go to the village of morality and seek out Mr. Legality and his cousin Civility. However, Christian's burden gets heavier, and he stops, and he has to pursue the celestial city. There's another scene where Christian goes to the Valley of Humiliation, and he battles the monster Apollyon. And then he crosses through this terrifying valley called the Shadow of Death. Now, if you stopped reading the book when Christian is in the Shadow of Death, you would draw the conclusion that he never made it to the celestial city. That's why it's important that when you're reading a book, you have to what? You have to keep turning the page. You have to keep turning the page, and you have to make it all the way to the end. This morning, I want to talk to you about the end of the battle, and here's the main idea. Perseverance reveals providence. Say that with me. Perseverance reveals providence. Perseverance, the ability to keep turning the page, to allow God to turn the page of your life one page at a time, each chapter, each season of your life, never stopping, never quitting, always moving forward, and you will see the providential hand of God over your life. Psalm 139:16, the psalmist says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And in our life, the turn of a page can make a difference. It can turn us into a chapter of horror. It can turn us into a chapter of drama. Sometimes it seems our life turns into a chapter of comedy. But each turn reveals something more about God. And we must continue to persevere. Push through. Keep going. In the ESV, God restored the fortunes of Job, gave him double. In the King James Version, he turned the captivity of Job. Job's mind was held captive throughout his ordeal. How many of you know a lot of times the things that happen to us, the biggest battle we face is right here in our own mind? And what we've got to learn is we've got to learn to keep persevering all through life's struggles, all life's difficulties, because God is shaping, molding, and revealing himself to us so that we might see him. Now, let's go to Job 31. In Job 31, he begins to list a bunch of complaints toward God. He wants to argue his case before God. He's like, if I could just have my day in court with God, I'd tell him a thing or two. Right? Because he had lost everything. His health was gone. All of his children were killed. He lost all of his money. Everything had crumbled around him. And he is living under the false assumption as well that bad things should happen to bad people, not good people. And he goes through this list and he says, you know, doesn't God know that I've not done evil? I've not done wickedness? I've not lied to anyone? There's been no deceit in my dealings with people when I've done business with them. I've never turned aside help if I've seen someone poor and in need. I've always helped them. I've never committed adultery on my spouse. I've never gotten out there and gotten drunk and done all kinds of crazy things that I regretted. I've lived my life and tried to do it exactly how it would honor God. And yet all this bad stuff has happened to me. Don't you see, God? Don't you see what's happening? Why aren't you there? Defend yourself. It shouldn't happen to me. This shouldn't happen. I don't know why I'm going through this. I wonder if there's anyone in the house this morning that has ever said, if I could just tell God a thing or two. We've been in the middle of a trial, a struggle, and in our heart, we think it's not fair. What I'm going through is not right. Here's what I want you to know. You can write this down. Here's a truth statement. You ready? My suffering should produce reliance upon God, not rebellion toward God. My suffering should produce reliance upon God, not rebellion toward God. Now, it is difficult. And I'm not minimizing anyone's trial, anyone's suffering, anyone's pain or hurt, because there's something about us, isn't there? There's something about us that feels that we deserve things to happen to us that are good. And when something bad happens, we have an attitude that says, this shouldn't have happened to me. We have this feeling that the purpose of life is to live one with ease and prosperity. And I wonder if we're missing the purpose of why we're here. Now, as we go through trials, as we go through suffering, it is not for the purpose to make us rebellious toward God, but rather to make us more reliant upon Him. Okay? You with me? So he wants his day in court. He wants to ask God a few things. Now, if you ever got your day in court, I wonder how that would fare with you and God, huh? Because we see how it did with Job. Let's go to Job 38. Wow, just stop for a minute. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I just heard? Did you hear all the pages turning? Man, I love it. Sweet sound right there. 38 verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Uh-oh. It's about to get real. Okay? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. He says, Job, I've heard you complaining long enough. I've heard you accusing me of not caring. I've heard you accusing me of all kinds of things that I don't know what I'm doing. And here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Pull up your britches, act like a man, man up. Right? He told him to man up. Here we go. I've got some things to ask you about, okay? If you're going to charge me and you're going to confront me, so here's what I'm going to, let me just ask you a few questions, and here's what God asked Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. If you're so wise and you know more than me, where were you? Tell me. I want to know where you were. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? He says, where were you when I made everything? Well, when you get asked that way, you only have one response, right? He had to kind of take a step back. Verse 40 of chapter 40, he goes on through different scenarios in 38 and 39. And 40 says, and the Lord said to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am a small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further. What Job say? Oops. I'm right. You're right. You know I don't. You're high above me. Here's another truth point. You ready? Our suffering need not harden us, but humble us. Our suffering need not harden us, but humble us. When we're going through life's disappointments, heartaches, pains, trials, and we have a tendency to get angry and mad, resentful, and we look at other people, and like as Job did, he said, if I was robbing people and if I was doing all kinds of bad things, I could understand why I'm going through this. But I haven't done any of that. Yet I'm still going through it. And sometimes we look through and we see other people, it seems like they're not loving God, doing things right, and here they're prospering, succeeding, and we get angry and bitter, and we want to shake our fist, and sometimes it causes us to get hard, and we get angry, and we wanna move away from God rather than to Him. We want to get hardened rather than being humbled. The sufferings in life, the disappointments in life, the pains in life does not need to harden us, but it should humble us. That we need to go to God, and we need to rely on Him, and we need to keep allowing Him to turn the page of our life, because the next turn of the page could be a whole different story. Perseverance reveals providence. Perseverance, the ability to keep on keeping on, keep moving forward, not quitting, keep moving, pressing through, keep reading, keep letting God turn the page of your life. God then also challenges Job again in chapter 40, verse 6. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? Have you an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like His? And then he goes through a bunch of different animals and how he cares for them, and he navigates and controls how the earth moves. And he says, are you questioning me? Are you doubting me? Are you accusing me? Are you finding fault with me? We go to chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Let's just stop right there for a moment. He says, God, I've been humbled. And I know that you are high above me, and your wisdom is far greater than mine, and your power mightier than I'm. And that your purpose cannot be stopped. Okay, here's another truth point to think about. Though I may not understand the pain, I will continue to trust in His name. Okay? Though I may not understand the pain, I will continue to trust in His name. I'm going to keep persevering. Because perseverance reveals providence. Providence. The active hand of God over your life throughout the entirety of your life. Perseverance. The ability to keep pressing through and not stopping in the middle. What if Job had given up? What if he had said, I'm done. I'm going to curse God and die. He would have missed what God had in store for him. He goes on. Look, he says there in verse 3. Job repeats back what God said to him. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? He says, therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. he comes to a realization, does he not? He says, "Hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me." That's what God said to him. Verse 5, if I have my Bible out right now and I had a marker, I would asterisk this verse. I would do something to highlight this verse, because here is the whole turning point in the book of Job. "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. I have heard of you by my ear." Job was a righteous man. He loved God. He served God. He followed God. He walked with God. He had heard God, but now he sees him. He has experienced God in a completely different way in which he had never experienced him before. Maybe the purpose of life is not the American dream. Maybe we were made for something more. Maybe the reason why we exist is not so that we can have a good education, so that we can go to a nice college or a trade school and have a nice job and have a career, so that we can buy a nice home, so that we can drive nice cars, so that we can wear nice clothes and eat good food. Maybe God has something bigger in mind for the purpose of our life. Maybe the real reason that we're here is to see him, to know him, to experience the God who made us. And through the sufferings and the trials and the struggles of life, it conforms us and molds us more into more, so that we can see him for who he is, that we would know God. There's a Footprints poem that many of you all probably have read. It's a poem about someone walking in the sand, and there's two sets of footprints. And there's two sets of footprints going through life. And then the guy looks back and he notices that there's only one set of footprints. And he notices that it's in the most difficult moments of his life, the trials of his life, the sorrows of his life, the sadness of his life. And he says to the Lord, "Lord, why, when I was going through some of the most difficult moments in my life, are there just one set of footprints? Why did you leave me to walk alone?" And he says, and God says to him, "Son, those aren't your footprints. Those are my footprints, and those were the times when I was carrying you." Suffering, trials, hardships, heartaches, pain molds us, conforms us, humbles us, softens us. And now Job, he sees the Lord in a way that he had never seen before. He had experienced God, and he had come into a realization of who God is, unlike he had ever seen. And when God begins removing the things in his life, he could only see now but one: God. So maybe through your life, as you're going through disappointments and heartaches and pains and suffering and trials, God's turning the pages to reveal himself to you in a way that you would have never been able to see him otherwise. There's purpose in the pain. Athletes know this. If you have played any sport, you know that playing a sport brings hardship, trials, suffering, pain. It's usually called conditioning. And when you're in conditioning, the coach is pushing you and pushing you. And if you have an old school coach, they're running you and running you, and they ain't stopping until someone on the team pukes. Right? They're going to run your guts out. And there's a purpose for all of that. Now, it might not seem joyful in the moment, but if you persevere and you see it through, you see the accomplishment. in life. God's purpose is so that you would know him. That you would learn to trust him. That you would follow him. That no matter what you're going through, God is not left you. He has not abandoned you. He has not brought a curse upon you. No, he's bringing causes in your life to experience him greater. And so Job says, now I see you. And then verse 6, he says, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Wow. Man, when God breaks me, he makes me. When he breaks me, he makes me. When he gets me down to where the only thing I can see is but him, he makes me into a whole new person. He says, I despise myself and I repent. You say, well, what did Job repent of? You know, I thought he was a blameless man. I thought he was a man that did not sin against God. It says that. Of course, he's not a perfect man. He's not sinless. There were some things that he did need to repent of. Well, what was some of those? Well, he cursed the day of his birth in chapter 3. He said it would have been better if I had never been born. You know, a lot of people feel that. A lot of people go through life and they experience heartache and pain and suffering, and they get into a state of depression where they say, it would have been better if I had never been born. He got to a low. In chapter 6, he said, I wish to die. In chapter 7, he begins complaining against God. In chapters 9 and 10, he is in despair and throwing out his accusations. So he had some things to repent of. Some false thoughts on God while he was going through the suffering. But I want you to notice something that God did. He brought Job to him. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, what did they do? They ran from him. What did Job do? God said, step up. Act like a man, come to me. What do we do when we're scared, when we're angry, when we're bitter, when we have sin, when we have doubts, disappointments? We don't run away from God, we need to run to God. We don't need to be afraid of him, we need to fall toward him. And so, Job's experiencing God in a unique way. I've thought about the book of Job and thought about how we've broke this down. And here's some lessons that I feel like I've taken away from Job. And let's just review just for a moment. The beginning of life's battles. The beginning of a battle often appears suddenly and unexpectedly, right? A turn of the page turns into a terror, a disappointment, a heartache, a trial. It happened real quick to Job's life. He lost everything. As quick as a turn of a page. But God knew. But God knew everything that he was going through. and he was going to see Job through. That's perseverance. Perseverance is knowing that God is going to take me through. Oftentimes, when we get the initial shock of something that's disheartening, we might respond in an act of faith, right? That's how Job did, right? He lost everything. What did he do? He said, should we not expect bad as well as good from the hand of God? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he fell down and he worshiped God. And we think, man, how could he do that? But isn't that true for us sometimes when something initially hits us, we're like, I'm going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And your faith, it seems like it ignites a little bit of faith at the beginning. And then it's in the middle of the battle where you begin to get weary and wore down. My dad, when he was battling cancer last year, and at the very beginning, you know, his first response was just super positive, and his faith was so solid. Then he had his radiation treatment. Then he had his chemo treatment. And anyone who has ever went through like radiation and chemo, you know how that zaps someone from all their energy. I mean, my dad had gotten down to 130 pounds. Now, us Kanois, we have some big calf muscles. And Dad had some big calf muscles. And I remember sitting on his porch, and he's sitting there, and I'm looking at his legs, and his legs just look like a stick, like his calf muscles gone. I'm like, whoa. At the very last treatment he got, he took a downward spiral just like that. And he was in the hospital for 16 days, And I'm telling you, it was one of the worst moments in the whole time of his treatment. And he had gotten down to the point to where, and I'm sure he would say this to you, that if he would have went on and passed on, he would have been fine with that. He knows where he's going. He's a believer in the Lord Jesus, so, you know. And there's times in life when you get so wore down that sometimes your big statements of faith of like, yes, we're going to fight this, we're going to win this, and then in the middle sometimes it gets hard, doesn't it? And the temptation is to give up, to throw in the towel and say, it's over, I'm done, it's not worth it, I don't see any way out of this. But you have to persevere all the way to the end. You can't stop in the middle of the book. You have to keep letting God turn the page, because as he turns the pages, there's going to be a moment when he turns the captivity of you to something great and glorious. You've got to keep letting God turn the pages of your life and persevere all the way to the end, because perseverance reveals providence. God's providence. That God's hand was over your life in the good times and in the bads. And so when the end of the battle comes, it's the climax, it's the turning point, it's a revelation. And you see God in ways that you would have never seen God. I promise you this. And I know that you know this is true. We don't like to go through hard times. But every believer that I have ever counseled, every Christian that I've ever talked to that has went through difficult moments and difficult trials and painful experiences, they have all said this by the time it was over. I didn't like it when I was going through it, but boy, I sure learned more about God than I ever did. I read his word more than I had ever read. I prayed more than I ever prayed. So maybe everything that we experience in life is not about how much you can have before you die, but how much of him you can know before you die. Job had experienced the Lord. He was given double back. If you read it, you read that he got double. All of his cattle, all of his business doubled. He lost 10 children. He got 10 more children. So, well, how come he didn't get 20 children? Because he didn't lose the first 10. The first 10 knew the Lord. They were waiting for him on the other side. But the turnaround happened when he prayed for his friends. I'll just read this to you. If you have your Bible, look at verse 7 there in 42. I don't have this on the screen, but just listen. I want you to see if you can notice a phrase that is said. It's said four times here. After the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has. Now therefore take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept his prayer not to deal with you according to your folly, for you have not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has." Did you hear a repeating phrase? Servant Job, my servant Job. We're all servants of the Lord. We're his servant. Job was his servant. And God brought him through and allowed a crisis to come into his life. Not because he was mad at Job, not because he was trying to punish Job. But he was revealing himself to Job in a way that he never would have had he not experienced that. Because again, maybe life's not about what car you drive. Maybe it's more about your character and who God is and how you've experienced him and know him. My servant Job, he stood the test of times, did he not? He was faithful. Here was a man that was righteous, yet suffered. Here was a man that felt abandoned, but persevered. Here was a man whose friends were saying all kinds of bad things about him, like, was contradicting him and was really not a help at all. But yet he forgave them. Here was a man that when God poured out his blessing, was doubly blessed. My servant Job. We say, well, God allowed him to suffer. Sometimes he allows us to suffer. Well, I don't know if I could serve a God like that. Here's what I want you to know. There was another servant of God that he allowed to suffer. He's known as the suffering servant. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus came and he was a righteous, sinless man. He was betrayed by his friends. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was beaten. He was scourged. He felt abandoned and alone. And on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And while they were jeering him and mocking him and spitting upon him, it was the servant of the Lord, the suffering servant that also cried out on that cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When Job forgave his friends, then the Lord forgave. Well, I tell you what, I can't wait to stand before God. I've got a thing or two to tell him, and I've got some stuff I want to straighten out with him. I don't know. I don't want to stand before God by myself. I want the righteousness of Jesus to cover me. On the cross, God judged sin. And for all who would believe, he covers their sin. When I stand before God on Judgment Day, I am so thankful that I don't have to try to defend myself, and I'm definitely not going to try. I'm going to throw myself on the mercy seat of God, and I'm going to say, because of what you did on the cross, Lord, because of what you did, because of your grace, because of your mercy, there is nothing in me that deserves anything. For those of you who think you're going to stand before God and give your voice, man, I'm shocked at your audacity. The arrogance that you have to think that you're going to tell God, no. When you stand before God, he will drop all men and women to their knees. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can do it now and receive forgiveness and mercy and salvation. Or you can do it later when it'll be too late to receive the pardon that he offers through his Son. And you'll be cast out of his kingdom forever. People get some, I don't believe in God. Why would God send people to hell? Well, my question is, why would God let people go to heaven who don't want to be there? If you've mocked him, blasphemed him, and despised him, why? You don't want to go to God's house. You say, well, I don't believe in heaven and I don't believe in hell. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There is a man who came from heaven. It was sent from God, and he was the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him and we saw his glory. Glory is the only begotten Son of God. He is the one who died and he rose again. And he conquered death and he conquered hell. And guess what? Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. If he says it's real, I'm going to believe the man, the God-man who was dead and now is alive. I'm not going to believe our culture. We don't like to talk about judgment. We don't like to talk about standing before God, but we're going to. You need to be ready. Do you know the Lord? Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life when you've humbled yourself and said, Lord, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you died on a cross for my sins so that I could be forgiven. And I believe you rose again on the third day so that I could have everlasting life. Come into my life and save me. Forgive me. I will close my mouth. I will not say a word. I will humble myself. For you are King. You are Lord. I am not. And I want to trust in you all through my days. Some of you this morning, you're going through a trial. Don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere all the way to the end. You might be really close to the finish line. It might just be one more page and everything turns and makes a difference. Wherever you are in life, may you see him. Do you know the Lord? Have you experienced him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the one that is high and lifted up. You are the one who walks with us, guides us, leads us. You never abandon us. Lord, there's some here today, they may feel abandoned. They may feel anger, bitterness. I don't know. They might be right on the verge of coming to the end of their battle. There's some that might just be starting one, and some of us going through the middle of one. And God, may we see you. The purpose of our life, just to know you, experience you more. And we know that, Lord, the day that we breathe our last breath and we turn that final page of this life, it's not the end, but it's just a new beginning. Lord, I pray that everyone would have hope for that today, that they would trust you and know you. Lord, if someone needs to trust in you as Savior, may they come in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's respond, let's pray.